what was striking in our conversation was I feel like you did the typical thing of throwing the responsibility onto women to do all the work. And that is a bit of an issue, because as women, we are generally sort of raised to be the fixers and the menders and to make sure that everyone's okay and to, you know, make sure that everyone's getting along. So I think what you were doing really perpetuates that dynamic.
A few weeks ago, Naz and I were arguing about men and commitment issues, and as you can hear by the tape, she's pissed and we're at it again.
This is The Gender Knot, the podcast where we untangle the new masculinity and femininity. I'm Naz Strand-Tavakoli-Farr, or Naz in short.
And I'm Daniel Caro, or Dan in short. Like I said last time, like I've never seen a guy walk out on the perfect relationship with the woman of their dreams.
Well, because I think this is the problem itself. Like, when you say perfect relationship and woman of their dreams, you're basically talking about an ideal, which is hard to achieve. And I think that in itself is kind of showing commitment issues. Welcome to The Gender Knot, the podcast where we try to figure out gender roles for the modern era. So Dan and I are going to try and figure out everything, basically. And give you all the answers, or not.
Everything. We're going to figure it out. And sometimes there will be answers. And when there are, we'll give them to you. And sometimes there won't be answers, because life is meaningless and we're all going to die alone.
So on that note, a little bit about me. I'm a journalist. I'm based in London. I met Dan through his podcast, because he does a podcast which is all about trying to be a better ally.
Yeah, and I live in Los Angeles, though I am presently in Boise, Idaho, in a hotel room. No reason why. And I do stand-up comedy, I write stuff, and I podcast. And we've become friends through that, and now we do this.
So a couple of weeks ago, we had an episode where we looked at men and commitment issues. So that was your idea, Dan, because you were saying that, like, there's this stereotype that men have commitment issues. So mm-hmm. We had this conversation a few weeks ago with our previous co-host, Jonathan, and I was kind of annoyed afterwards, because at the time, right, you said all this stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, this all makes sense. Dan's made some great points. Long story short, Dan was saying that it's nonsense that men have commitment issues. So we have this conversation, and Dan says all this very convincing stuff, and I'm all convinced. But you know, like, when in the back of your mind, you're just like, something just didn't sit right about that. And then I went back and listened to it after we put it out, and I was like, dude, that was super sneaky. You just said all this stuff that just made no sense, and that was like, it's like really cleverly putting the blame on women, even though that's not where the problem lies. So hence why we were like, we need to go at this again, because I'm not going to let you get away with some of the stuff that you said.
I don't think that I snuck anything in there. I feel like you got burned pretty hard, and I get it. And you know, you're going to want to twist what I said and make it into something.
Yeah. Well, we'll come to that. So first, let's get our sponsor out of the way, and then we'll have a bit of a chat about that. So our sponsor this week is eSquared Fitness. This is a fitness app based in London, and it lets you book the best fitness classes and gym sessions in just a few taps. You don't need to pay monthly memberships. You just pay as you go. So you don't end up wasting money on a gym membership that you never use, like you, Dan, because you never use your gym membership. And every time I ask you,
over a year since I've been there.
Like you literally haven't been in a year.
Yeah.
Dude, man, that is some wasted money.
Well, you know.
So with the eSquared Fitness app, you only pay for the workout that you go to. And what's really cool, because I've been checking the app out, what's really cool is that you can sort of find classes that are going on near your location, which is like super handy, especially if you want to go to something last minute and you're like, okay, you know, what can I fit in after work, or what can I fit in before going to a certain place or something? That's kind of cool. So it lets you do that, which is really cool. So you should download the eSquared app. It's available on iOS and on Android, and you can try it for free now. Also, if you enter the promo code, you get a free £15 credit, which you can use towards your first class. So the promo code is POD15. So that's eSquared Fitness, and we have linked to it in the notes to this show. Put in the promo code POD15, so that's POD15, and you get a free £15 credit. So that's eSquared Fitness.
All right, now the sponsor's out of the way. I had this idea for a segment, and we tried it last week, and it went over so well that I'd like to keep doing it. And I want to do an emotional check-in you know, see where everybody's at. And by everybody, I mean you and me. So how are you this week?
I am good, and I'm very aware that you think I sound like a robot on this podcast.
Well, when you go, I am good, that's what a robot says.
That is quite robotic. Yeah, so actually, I've been thinking about what you said last week, because you were saying when you and I talk outside of the podcast, I say all these great things, and then I get all journalisty on the podcast, and it's really weird. And then I said, is this because I'm a Brit and you're being an over-sherry American? And
mm-hmm. I remember that.
I've been thinking about this past week, because it's kind of like, it's kind of hard doing a podcast like this because these topics are really personal, and often I'm totally happy to talk about things, but I might be talking about things in my personal life where those people could be identifiable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a bit of responsibility, and it's not just about talking shit about people. Loads of times I might want to say something really positive, but you know, those are kind of not my stories to tell.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's kind of tricky, because it's like, well, I want to be open, but at the same time, you know, because especially topics to do with sort of masculinity. And I'm like, you know, close male friends of mine or ex-boyfriends and stuff, there could be things they've told me that have taught me a lot about the male condition or about masculinity and stuff. But if I told those stories, it's probably identifiable to a good chunk of people who know me, who I'm talking about. And even if I'm not shit talking and I'm saying something really positive, but it still just feels like a little bit of a breach of trust, you know? It's kind of hard.
Yeah. That's actually why I don't do material on stage about women I've dated or am dating, past or present. I don't think it's anybody's business, like, outside of theirs.
No, exactly. But then this is the tough thing, because some topics, like the topic of this podcast, they are quite personal, right?
Right.
So it's inevitable that we're going to be thinking about or drawing about actual experiences we've had.
Right.
But then these are experiences that also involve other people. So then it's kind of like, and like I say as well, a lot of the times it's not even me saying something bad about someone, but someone might have told me something really vulnerable about themselves or their experience, especially as a male. And then I'm like, people will kind of know who I mean, the people who know me, and it's kind of hard. And I thought, going back to you, isn't there always that joke that you should never date a comedian, because if you break up, you'll just be fodder for
yeah,
for
I guess
show.
I've never heard that said before you said it to me. Yeah, I don't know. I personally try to walk a very fine line between like what I do and don't say into a microphone, because I agree that nobody's business but my own needs to go out into my art, whatever you want to call it, whether it's podcasting or stand up.
But the topic of this podcast is about how we relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like my experience about this topic isn't me sitting in a room thinking on my own. It's to do with me living in society.
Right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean? With other
that's
people.
That's where the fine line comes in, you know, because
right, which makes it
I
tough.
Have to be able to speak from my experience without censoring that, but without right. without sharing someone else's experience.
On that note, how is your emotional life?
It's fine. I feel like that's always going to be my answer. It's fine. You know what? Like, I got a day job, which is why I'm here in gorgeous Boise, Idaho, and I recently took over managing a department, and I'm gonna tell you, management at my company is a shit show. And frankly, I don't care if anyone listens to this. It is, things are tumultuous right now. I mean, and this is fine. Like, everybody I work with is awesome. There's nobody that I dislike in the entire company, and hopefully they would say the same about me. But like, we're the kind of company, like, you know how Facebook has their motto of like, move fast and break things? Like, we're very much like that. And it's just like being in charge of people now, where like stuff is constantly moving fast and being broken. It's very stressful, and it's hard not to take home, and I have a very staunch don't take work home policy.
So wait, you're emotionally taking things home?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's stressful. I get emails at all hours of the day. I get texts. Stuff's going on constantly. It's more work than I bargained for, and it's something that I care about, you know? And like, now that I'm in charge of people, like, being a manager of people is more than I thought. Like, 'cause now I'm like, it's not just like moving pieces. They're human beings, right? And so like, everything that they do and have a problem with, they have an emotional attachment to. And then that becomes my emotional attachment as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny you say that because I have never been interested in managing people.
Me neither. In fact, for years I've been with this company and I've always said, I don't want to be a manager. But then we got to a place where so much stuff was going on that just wasn't working. And it was just over and over again. I was like, somebody needs to fix this. Somebody needs to fix this. And eventually I can only say somebody needs to do something so many times before I become that somebody.
Cool. So we are going to talk about men and commitment issues in a second, but let's get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way.
Yeah.
Dan.
I love housekeeping. The do not disturb sign is out. what do we got? We got a Patreon. You can support us.
Yeah.
You can start at any level you want. But if you go up, obviously, you're going to get some bonuses. One of those things would be we would say your name at the end of the show. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the links to that will be in the show notes.
And also write to us. We've been getting lots of mail from you, which has been really interesting. And actually, we're going to hear from one of our listeners in a second in this episode. So yeah, write to us, especially if you're a male and you're feeling really confused and you're like, what the hell is going on right now? What am I meant to be doing? I feel super confused. It's thegendernaut@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, thegendernaut.com, and contact us there.
Yeah, and while you're at the website, you can buy a t-shirt.
Yeah.
We've got Gender Not t-shirts. I feel like I'm just the one selling stuff, but that's what
but
I do
you
for
are
a
the
living.
Salesman.
I am very
you
good
are the
at selling things, so much so that I'm a manager now.
Oh, there you go.
Just to bring that back. But you can go to the website, or there's also just a link in the show notes if you don't feel like typing anything into anything. And you can buy one of our rad t-shirts.
And you can also leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. Yeah, we are always keen to hear some of your thoughts. Cool, so let's go on to this week's episode. So back in late August, we had an episode, Men and Commitment Issues, Fact or Fiction. This is because Dan thinks that this whole stereotype of men having commitment issues is untrue and hinders relationships. So we had a discussion with our former co-host Jonathan, and long story short, Dan was like, this is total nonsense, and basically everyone needs to go away and do work on themselves, and it's a way for the other person to not have to take responsibility for their own issues. So it's easy to like blame men of having commitment issues. And yeah, I at the time I was convinced, but I went away and I was like, you okay, I don't know if I should say this because it's quite scathing.
Please scathe away.
You approach the conversation like a guy who has commitment issues. Because you bring up this big, exciting topic, and then you just evaded everything, and then you didn't listen to any other points of view or like make an effort to understand, and it just it really felt like when guys with commitment issues who like they chase, and then once you're interested, suddenly they don't make an effort, they're just not into it, they sort of like lose interest, and then they shift the blame onto you for like being crazy and like, oh, but I wasn't really that interested anyway, you're being unreasonable. So I was like, your approach to this conversation is totally like the approach of a typical male with commitment issues.
Actually, while you're railing on me, we could take a pause here. And we got a listener actually sent an email and has followed up with a voice memo. His name is Jeremy, and he works for a gender-based violence prevention organization. And he had this to say.
So my name is Jeremy Hardy. I'm an avid listener of The Gender Knot. So the reason I reached out to The Gender Knot initially was in response to the episode that recently came out on men and commitment issues, fact or fiction. There was a turning point that happened about halfway through the conversation. So Naz outlined a narrative of women's experience in relationship with men that says, oh, well, if I love him enough, you know, he'll come around. And Jonathan summarized this as like, yeah, I'd rather have the crappy thing that I do have than the potentially better thing that I don't have. And at that moment, Dan said, which doesn't make sense to me. And so I want to pause here because for me, that really is a moment to ask questions. That doesn't make sense to me, or I don't understand. Then why? This myth or this fact or fiction question about men and commitment issues didn't just come from movies about solitary men. Where did it come from? And so instead of a question here, we got the onion analogy, which, you know, kind of didn't land for me. And the way that Dan framed it made the meal sound like the metaphor for the other partner. I guess I'm curious, you know, is that the case? What if those onions are a cultural heritage that marks who that person is? You know, what if you shaving off the onions is ultimately being picky? This kind of reinforced the notion that men are not things for women to fix, and therefore the mending that women do in relationships is the problem because they're too committed to the relationship and should be more relaxed about it, like men. As if, you know, if I ask for something with no onions and it has onions on it, I'll either send it back or go to another restaurant. This doesn't really land because it's not really addressing the role that men potentially can play in facilitating assumptions about men that says men have commitment issues.
That's some of Jeremy's thoughts. He also told us a little bit more about the problem with your reasoning, Dan. So let's hear some more of that.
So something that, you know, didn't come to the conversation that I would have wanted to hear and would offer opportunity for more conversation about is why there is an assumption that men have commitment issues. We know that Dan brought it into the conversation because he felt like it was a big problem. That wasn't actually as big of a problem as it was. I also heard Nas saying, you know, she restated two or three times that she believes there is some truth to the claim, and to not really hear that felt like kind of a missed opportunity. And the other thing, you know, Dan, you're not going to like me after this, but I come back to that first example that you gave when you said that you've never had a male friend and you've certainly never done it yourself, leave a perfect relationship with the woman of their dreams because he was afraid of commitment. You've never seen it happen. Of course not. That is a really idealistic and wonderful story of a relationship that really doesn't touch on the source of these claims about commitment issues. And again, my question is, well, where do they come from? Why is it that we think that they're there? Both comments for me really bring up the question about the relational skills that we're taught through the various institutions of our families, of our friends, our schools, the media, etc., and how we enact what we've learned. For Dan to bring up this topic and then to neglect to really listen to what was said that contradicted his views, for me, it just felt like a misstep. You know, I would have loved to hear some of the stories of commitment that would help the speakers and the listeners, you know, shape what commitment is. Is commitment when I don't know what we are, but I like hanging out with you? Is it transitioning from seeing someone in your free time to making time to see them? Is it when I say I love you? Is it when we say our vows? Is it when the going gets tough as all hell and despite the turmoil you stay? I don't know. But I don't think it's when you order something at a restaurant.
Wicked. Thank you to Jeremy for sending that. I think he makes a lot of brilliant points there, and we'll come to some of them. But I really thought what was striking in our conversation was I feel like you did the typical thing of throwing the responsibility onto women to do all the work. And that is a bit of an issue because as women, we are generally sort of raised to be the fixers and the menders and to make sure that everyone's okay and to, you know, make sure that everyone's getting along. So I think what you were doing really perpetuates that dynamic. Plus, as girls, especially when we're young, we're always kind of taught that, you know, things are never good enough. Like, there's a big thing with women wanting to be perfect, feeling that they're never good enough. Like, if a guy treats them badly, you know, they think it's because of something they did. And often women are sort of like forced to kind of like be too forgiving in situations. So I feel like the whole of what you were doing, you were just kind of shifting blame back onto women so that women kind of go away and do more work on themselves. Whereas I think genuinely there is a problem with a lot of men having issues with commitment, because you're talking about a group of people who have been sort of like socialized from a young age to try to, you know, to not need other people and not rely on others. So like inevitably it's not going to be weird if many people in that group struggle with commitment and with letting people close and with sort of opening up to others and being okay on relying on others. I just feel like you didn't really want to acknowledge that and kind of just chucked the blame back onto women, which is exactly the problem, because then it's like, oh yeah, everyone needs to go work on themselves more. But yeah, maybe women aren't the problem here.
Well, like, if you had brought it up that way the first time I do. And I'm really mad that I never thought about it from that angle of like, yeah, men are raised to act like we don't need anyone else. I think what I was arguing was this other idea that, like, I do see in movies and on television and in books and shit like that, which is, like, the guy who's, like, happy and in a relationship, but he's got cold feet and he won't propose, and they've been together for 7 years. Or, you know what I mean? Or he runs out on a good relationship. And, I see that stuff over and over and over again, or I hear about it, but I've never actually, like, seen it in real life. Like I said last time, like, I've never seen a guy walk out on the perfect relationship with the woman of their dreams.
Well, because I think this is the problem itself. Like, when you say perfect relationship and woman of their dreams, you're basically talking about an ideal, which is hard to achieve. And I think that in itself is kind of showing commitment issues, because it's like this expectation that everything must be amazing and mind-blowing and perfect all the time. And if it isn't, then it's just not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not good all the time, get rid of it. This is America. That's what we do here. but for real, like, it's a measurement, right? Like, when I say perfect, I obviously don't mean Heather Locklear 1987. I don't mean a Bo Derek poster. I mean the person who, like, gets you. Do you know what I mean? And, like, you've made it past that stage of everybody has walls up, and you've gotten to the part where, like, you actually start to get to know each other's mess and, like, all the bullshit that comes along with somebody's family and, like, all of that stuff. And it's still good. Like, it's still at its core, it's good. And the good outweighs all of the humanity that comes along with a person, because, let's be honest, the worst part of every person is that they're a person.
Right.
And there's this idea that, like, if I break up with somebody when we get to that messy place in a relationship, when the walls have come down, it's not because it's not a good fit. It's because I'm afraid of commitment.
Yeah, but what's interesting, though, is because, like, no one says that, like, oh, I'm going to break up with this person because I'm scared of commitment. It's through their actions, right? So it's through things like detaching, not making an effort anymore, expecting things to be amazing and perfect. Those are ways of showing it. So, yeah, no one turns around and says, hey, look, I have issues. They kind of show it through their behavior. And sort of things like not investing a lot, trying to be stoic, trying to, like, be cool, trying to not care. Those are ways of showing commitment issues, which are also, like, often ways in which men in a lot of societies are socialized as well.
So what's the difference?
Well, the point is that no one turns around and, like, says, oh, I'm not going to settle down with this woman of my dreams because I have commitment issues. They just, like, won't make an effort. They just won't invest more. They'll just start looking for excuses. No. I mean, commitment issues are probably way more common if you look at behavior.
Well, I mean, so again, backing it up, I completely agree with you that men are socialized to be independent of all outside influence, be it good or bad, because if we're not, we're pussies. But it's hard to calculate how many, like, because if we're saying that the symptoms of both are the same thing, right? If the symptoms of someone being, you know, in a relationship with somebody where it's like, it's just not, I'm not in that place where, like, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. If the symptoms of that are the same as, like, I don't need nobody and I'm out of here, then how do we calculate which one's which? You're the economics person. Like, you were saying, like, you know, he does all this chasing and then he's aloof. And, like, that may be true, but the point is that, like, we are conditioned to do that chasing. Do you know what I mean? Like, we are hunters, right? Not to go back.
Well, you mean there's like an expectation.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Like it is placed upon us that we have to chase a mate.
Right.
Right. And okay. Women play into that. That's part of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then at a certain point, they stop being chased and they start being, you know, more clingy. Not all of them.
Right.
And what happens there is that stops being attractive. And then that turns into, you know, him detaching, right? Now she's clinging, he's detaching. She does classic woman behavior. She starts to mend. Do you know what I mean? And then she's overly investing in the relationship, because now it's not just that she's losing a relationship. She's, like, losing a project. And so she has to fix it.
Dude, that's harsh. I'll say something, because I feel like, okay, I get what you say about, like, you know, the social script that, you know, guys are meant to initiate or whatever. But I also think that, like, as a woman, there is a sense of, like, wanting to suss out if someone's safe. And I feel like maybe I've done that too. Maybe I've like made guys slightly chase, not out of like a game thing, but out of a like, is this person genuine? Are they safe? Is this going to be okay? Do you know what I mean? And I think that is something that is quite hard to understand if you're not a woman. Yeah, I feel like often in the back of our heads, there is this sense of like, yeah, is this going to be okay? Or is this harmful, this situation, this person, this man, is he harmful? Because it's yeah, I think that's like a real thing.
Man, yeah. God damn it. Whoa. Two times in one show.
So have I won? Is that the conclusion? So the conclusion is, I mean, if men and commitment issues.
If you mean, if by it is one, a bit you of a mean thing. You've made me think of things that I've never thought of before. Yeah, I'd never, it's honestly, that has not crossed my mind, like the safety aspect of putting up walls. Like I understand emotional safety, maybe putting up walls. Right. Like I don't want people to know who I am. But when it comes down to like the harmful behavior of certain men.
And I don't just mean physical safety.
Sure.
Like, is this person genuine? Are they damaging? Can I trust them?
Right. When I say harmful, I don't mean physically harmful specifically, right. but harmful, right? Are they going to abuse me in one way or another? And that's not something that I really have ever had to think about, you know? And I live a pretty privileged life as like a 35-year-old straight white American, cisgendered, et cetera, et cetera. And is this person going to harm me has not really crossed my mind walking into a first or third or 10th date.
So basically, in conclusion, I have won. And the conclusion being that a lot of men are raised in a way which does give rise to some commitment issues. And I don't think it's fair to put the blame onto women and that like women need to go and fix themselves. And it's like an endless project of women endlessly thinking they're not good enough and they have to be better.
Well, I agree. But I do think that what I said last time holds true, which is that, you know, when we walk into relationships, bearing in mind the experience of our pasts and or common stereotypes, i.e. men are afraid to commit. And so I gotta lock him down. Or conversely, you know, broads are crazy. And she's going to be all in my business all the time. Like when either side walks into a relationship carrying that kind of baggage, they do need to go spend more work on themselves because they're going to create that out of every new relationship until they get some work done. We just argued about whether or not men have commitment issues.
This episode was hosted by me. I'm Nesrin Tavakoli-Farr, or Naz in short.
Co-hosted by me, Daniel Carroll, or Dan.
Our co-producers are Sam Baker and Jonathan Blackwell. We will be back next week with more. We'll speak to you then.